This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Insha'Allah, in today's session of Qareeb Mujib, we are going to go over some du'as related to paying off one's debts. We see that as human beings, money is something that we all need. We need it to purchase our food, to pay for shelter, to fulfill our basic needs. And there are times when a person has sufficient wealth in order to fulfill their needs, and there are other times when a person does not have the wealth that they need. And so in such times, it is permissible to take a loan, to take a debt. Of course, there are conditions when it comes to taking a debt, and inshallah, we will talk about those conditions. But the thing with debt is that borrowing money is not just owning, more money. Borrowing money means that you are responsible to pay it off, not just morally, but religiously, you're obligated to pay it off. And a person would typically borrow money when they are in some financial difficulty. And so it's not guaranteed that in the future they will have the means to pay off the debt, or they will be able to pay it off on time. And so while a person does what is in their ability to pay off the debt, so for example, they're saving money in order to pay it off, or as they receive an income, they continue to pay off the loan, they should also call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them pay off the loan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq, the sustainer, and He is the one who helps His slaves. So whether it is, you know, a spiritual need we have, an emotional need we have, or even a financial need that we have, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, because He is Qareeb, He is near, He cares about us, He hears us when we call upon Him, and He is Mujib, He responds, He helps His slaves. So today, inshallah, the du'as will be related to paying off debts. And we see that, all types of people, especially these days, and it doesn't even matter what age a person is of, so many different people, you know, they have debts to pay off, from student loans to, just borrowing money from friends or family, or even when it comes to paying off one's car or home and things like that. We see this all around us, that people are in debt. So we all should know what du'as to make, how to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for His help in paying off these debts. Remember that the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this life, it is a blessing for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. It is He who made the earth tame for you, so walk among its slopes and eat of His provision. Meaning the provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you all over the world, go obtain it and use it. And to Him is the resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes wealth as الَّتِي جَعْلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. It is which Allah has made a means of sustenance for you, meaning your life depends on it. So it is not wrong to use wealth, to have wealth, to grow your wealth. This is something that is permissible as long as it is done in correct ways. And when a person has wealth and they use it in a good way, in a correct and permissible way, then this is something praiseworthy. We learn in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that this worldly property is sweet vegetation. How excellent the wealth of the Muslim is if it is collected through legal means and is spent in the cause of Allah and on orphans, poor people, and travelers. But the person who takes his wealth, who does not take his wealth legally, is like an eater who is never satisfied, and his wealth will be a witness against him on the day of resurrection. So if a person obtains wealth through unlawful ways, and one of the ways which is unlawful is through haram loans or interest-based loans, then this type of wealth is such that it can never satisfy a person. And that wealth will be a witness against a person on the day of judgment. Now, when it comes to taking a loan or giving a loan, this is something that is completely permissible in our religion. A person can take it to fulfill their needs. A person can take it to fulfill the needs of their family, to grow their business, or to pay off some bills, whatever it may be. Sometimes there is some emergency situation where a person needs to borrow money. So whatever the reason is, as long as the reason is something permissible and the loan is taken in a permissible way, then remember that this is completely mubah. It is something permissible. We learn in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, in fact, the longest ayah of the Quran is dedicated to matters related to debt. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamma. That, O you who believe, when you borrow a loan, when you contract a debt, meaning when you're making a contract like that, where there are two parties involved, one is lending, the other is borrowing. It could be in the form of buying things on credit, or it could be literally borrowing cash. Then there are some conditions, some rules that must be followed. And all of those rules are detailed in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 282. Now, remember that not only is it permissible to give a loan or to take a loan, in some cases, actually, it is virtuous. It is rewardable. So, for example, we learn in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven at half of the night or at one third of the latter part and says, who is there to make dua to me so that I will answer him? Who is there to ask me so that I give him? And then he says, who will lend to the one who is neither poor nor is he a tyrant? Meaning, who will lend Allah alone? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he will borrow a loan from you, then remember that Allah is not poor. He is able to return it to you. And he's not a tyrant. So he will not oppress you. He will not harm you by borrowing this loan from you. And what is meant is that who will spend in the way of Allah? Who will spend their wealth for the cause of Allah? Because when you will spend your wealth for the cause of Allah, for the deen of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it as a loan, meaning he guarantees its return to you. And this is an investment that you're making. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not just return it to you as it was, but he will return it to you many times over, in a multiplied amount. So we see in this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us that we should give a loan. We should lend a loan to Allah. And this is something that is rewardable. In a hadith, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that kullu qardin sadaqah. Every loan is a charity, meaning it's recorded as a charity, and the person who is lending money is rewarded for lending as if he was giving charity. In another hadith, we learn there is no Muslim who lends something to another Muslim twice, but it will be like giving charity once. Meaning if you lend, for example, your brother money two times, or lend your car two times for 2 weeks, for example, each, then once it will be recorded as a loan, but the next time it will be recorded as if you were giving charity. In another hadith, we learned that the one who gives the gift of milk or lends silver as a loan or shows someone the way will get the reward of freeing a slave. In another hadith, we learned that the reward of sadaqah is tenfold. So for example, you give a dollar in sadaqah, you get the reward of $10. And the reward of lending alone is 18 times. 18 times, subhanAllah. Because when you are lending money to someone, not only are you assisting them in their time of need, you are also helping them preserve their dignity, their self-respect. Because everyone does not want to receive charity. All they want is just a little bit of help in the situation that they're in until they can stand on their feet and they're able to manage their own finances. So lending alone is double help. You know, you are helping someone financially, and at the same time, you're helping them preserve their dignity, their self-respect. Now, one of the du'as we learn from the sunnah, which we can say to help us pay off our debts, we learn in hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'ad radiallahu anhu, that shall I not teach you a du'a, which if you make when you have a loan, even if that loan is the size of Mount Uhud, Allah will enable you to pay it off. Subhanallah. Have you seen Mount Uhud? Mount Uhud is not just, you know, a hill or a small mountain. It's a very long mountain. And it extends. So imagine if a person has a loan like that. That's a huge debt. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you say this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable you to pay off that debt. What is this dua? It is Allahumma malik al-mulk, tu'ti al-mulka man tasha', wa tanzi'u al-mulka mimman tasha', wa tu'izzu man tasha', wa tudhillu man tasha', biyadika al-khayr, innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir, rahmanu al-dunya wal-akhirah, wa rahimahuma, tu'tihuma man tasha', wa tamna'u minhuma man tasha'. Irhamni rahmatan tughnini biha an rahmati man siwak. O Allah, owner of sovereignty, you give sovereignty to whom you will, and you take sovereignty away from whom you will. You honor whom you will, and you humble whom you will. In your hand is all good. Indeed, you are over all things competent. O Rahman of the world and the hereafter, and their Rahim. You give the world and the hereafter to whom you will, and you prevent them from whom you will. Bestow your special mercy on me, by which you avail me against the mercy of any other than yours. So this dua is a very comprehensive dua in which we not only begin with the praise and glorification of Allah, but we also show humility and our dependence on Him, and we show our reliance on Allah and trust in His decrees. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us pay off our debts by beseeching His mercy. So we see that at the beginning of this dua is actually an ayah of the Quran, which is from Surah Ali Imran. And in this ayah, we see that we say, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. In the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you should say, Allahumma malik al-mulk, that, O Allah, owner of sovereignty. Now, like I mentioned, this dua encompasses words of glorification and reliance and trust and humility. And especially in these words, when we say, O Allah, you are the owner of all sovereignty, this is also an expression of gratitude, that because you are acknowledging that Allah owns everything. You are acknowledging that whatever you have has been given to you by Allah. So you're showing gratitude. You are acknowledging that that whatever anyone has, any capability, any power, the source is Allah. So it is only Allah who is reliable. So you put your trust in Allah. And when you're declaring that Allah owns all sovereignty, all power, then you are also showing humility over here. Now, Allahumma malik al-mulk, O Allah, owner of sovereignty. This means three things. This means that Allah owns all possession, all sovereignty, all kingship. And He is the king of both worlds. He is the one who owns everything of this world and everything of the hereafter. And then this also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns all people, all people as well as what they have. So for example, if a person owns $50 billion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only owns that person, but even the $50 billion that that person has. Allah is the ultimate owner. He is Malik al-Mulk. And any privilege that any slave has, so for example, some ulama say that mulk over here refers to prophethood, and not just kingship, but even prophethood. So any privilege that any slave has, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is its ultimate owner. He is the true sovereign. He is al-malikul haqq. He is the true owner. In fact, everything in the heavens and the earth, including the heavens and the earth, belongs to Allah only. We learn, lahul mulk, to him belongs the sovereignty. فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He is the owner of everything. Even when it comes to our life, our death, Allah is its owner. When it comes to our faculties, our ability to see or hear, feel, that also belongs to Allah. أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. He is the one who gives it, he is the one who controls it, and he is the one who can take it away. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا مَالِكَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There is no owner except Allah. Which means that when we have anything, we don't become its owners. We just have it temporarily with limited power, limited ability over it, limited control over it. And we only have it for some time. We don't have it forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who exclusively owns everything. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. He does not have any partner in possession, in kingship, in authority, in power. And the beings that people worship besides Allah, they don't own anything at all. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malik, the sovereign, then this means that we show humility to him. So in salah, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. And these are words in which we show humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in this dua, we say, تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. That, O Allah, you give sovereignty to whom you will, and you take sovereignty away from whom you will. And here, sovereignty does not just mean kingship. So for example, someone is the king of an empire. So Allah gave that person kingship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take that kingship away from them. And he does take it away from his slaves. We see that no king lasts forever. No president, no person in power lasts forever. So Allah gives authority to people and he also takes it away. But mulk over here doesn't just mean authority or kingship. It also means, for example, the ability to use one's intellect, intelligence. Some people are highly intelligent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that intelligence to people and he can also take it away. And he does take it away. So we see the smartest of people, what happens to them? There comes a point where they begin to forget things. There comes a point where their smartness and their intelligence becomes irrelevant. It becomes old school. It's no longer needed. It's no longer appreciated. They are replaced by others. When it comes to health also, a person reaches the peak of their physical strength and well-being, and then there is decline. There is disease, there is death. When it comes to good character, people who are excellent, in their manners, especially so loving towards their children, so respectful towards their children, what happens to them as they age? The best of parents even, sometimes they can come across as irritable and sometimes even rude and harsh. And this is why children have been told to do ihsan towards elderly parents, that do not even say uff to them, which means that there will be times when you will feel annoyed. So akhlaq even, when people have it, they don't have it forever. When it comes to the ability to give an instruction, and that instruction is accepted by others, And this happens in positions of power. So, for example, a person is a board member, or a person is chairperson of a board, or a person is at the highest position in some kind of hierarchy. There comes a point where they are replaced. When it comes to the ability to exert effort, work hard, strive hard, earn an income, earn profits, any all of these things, we see that they are God-given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to people, and then He also takes it away from people. And this is a very important thing we need to remember, especially when it comes to the idea of borrowing money. You see, a lot of people have difficulty accepting that they're going to be renting for the rest of their lives. They don't want to rent. They want to just buy a property with the money that they don't have. Sometimes they want to take an interest-based loan even in order to purchase a property. And here, a person should really be honest with themselves and ask themselves that, how long can I own this property for? How long? And if I'm taking this loan today, and it's going to take me at least 30 years, if not more, to pay off this loan, I don't even know if I have the capacity to pay it off fully, and I'm going to transfer this debt to my children, and they're going to be paying it off for so long, and then what? How long are we going to enjoy this? 20 years, 30 years, 50 years? There's no guarantee. There's absolutely no guarantee that you're going to enjoy that property for even one more day. What is guaranteed is departure from this world, not being able to enjoy the things of this world. That is not guaranteed. So if we remember that whatever we have is given to us by Allah, and He will take it away, He will take it away, then a person is able to be content with what is permissible. A person is able to have contentment with the halal. A person is able to have contentment even with the little that they have. And it's okay for them if they don't have any property in their name. They're fine with that because they recognize that تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And تَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ, you take sovereignty away from whom you will. This means that you take it back after giving it. And yes, this happens. We see it all the time, that someone buys something and then soon it becomes someone else's property. It is transferred into other people's name. Or what happens is that the person leaves the world, they die, and then the property is sold, and the profits or whatever amount is obtained, that is divided among the heirs. Subhanallah. So you give sovereignty to whom you will, and you take it away from whom you will. And the ulama say that taking it away from whom you will also means that you prevent some people from having it. Yet some people, no matter how desperately they desire, no matter how badly they wish to own certain things, to have certain things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not decree it in their favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let them have it. And subhanallah, there are people who will spend their lives chasing certain things, but they don't get it. They don't get any of it. Why? Because it was not decreed for them. It was not written for them. So remember that before even we came into this world, what we were going to enjoy of this world was already decreed for us. It was written for us. And all favor is in the hand of Allah. All good things come from Allah. Any treasure that we seek, that we desire, it is in the hand of Allah. Allah gives, He expands sustenance, He restricts, and He takes it away. This is all His decision. وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. We do not become owners. All right, we just become, in a way, borrowers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lends things to us for some time, and we are to enjoy them for the time that we have. We don't own these things forever. And the thing is that even if you own a huge amount of money, and then yes, your children inherit it, and then their children inherit it, and then their children inherit it, then what? Eventually, we learn that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will roll up the skies and hold them in his hand, and he will say that, "I am the king, I am the king. Where are the kings of the world? Where are the kings of the world? Where are the owners?" You know, we are very proud of, we make the mistake of feeling very proud of things that we own. So for example, we say things like, "I own this much and this much. This belongs to me. I have such and such. We, our family, we, you know, my husband and I, we own such and such." And all of these words are very destructive. We learn in the Quran, "Ana, I have this. I am better. I own this." We learn Iblis said, "Ana khayrun minhu. I am better than him." And what happened? He was ruined. Iblis is ruined. We learn about Fir'aun. He said, "Li, mine. Alaysa li mulku Misr? Is this kingdom of Misr not mine? Is it not mine? Does it not belong to me?" So when we say things like, "This is mine," this is also a destructive word. What happened to the kingdom of Fir'aun? Whatever he owned, he lost it all. Then the third destructive word is indi. I have, I possess, I own. Qarun said, "Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. I was given all of this wealth because of this knowledge that is with me. This is mine. This is with me." Then we learn about the people of Saba. They said, "Nahnu ulu quwwatin." We are people of power. And what happened to their power? Finished. So don't get fooled by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And don't become blinded by desire and greed for worldly things. Because these worldly things literally can blind a person, where they can put their deen at risk, they can put their akhlaq, their decency at risk, they can even jeopardize their relationships, their marriage, sometimes their relationship with their parents and things like that. Open your eyes and realize what this wealth really is. It belongs to Allah. And he has just given it to us for some time to fulfill our needs. Not so that we misuse it, we obtain it with illegal ways, or that we become arrogant about it. This is all pure foolishness. Then we say in this dua, وَتُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ, that, "O Allah, you give honor to whom you will, and you humiliate, you abase whom you will." You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives honor. And honor is with obedience. And humiliation is through disobedience. Or honor is through victory, and humiliation is with defeat. Or honor is through wealth, and humiliation is through poverty and dependence. So we see this in the world, that there are people who are very obedient to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them. There are those who are very disobedient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate them. There are those who are given victory, and then there are those who are made to suffer defeat. There are those who are given wealth and status and opulence, and then there are those who suffer poverty and dependence. So these are realities of this dunya. And it is Allah who gives honor. It is Allah who gives abasement and humility. But remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not humiliate his friends. Okay? The friends of Allah, those who believe in Allah, those who fear Allah, those who obey Allah, those who do not cross the limits set by Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not humiliate them. Not in this world and not in the hereafter. This doesn't mean that the friends of Allah, those who are obedient to Allah, will not experience loss or neediness or illness or dependence in the world. No, they do. They do. And sometimes they experience these difficulties more than the enemies of Allah. Because, for example, you see that there is a person who doesn't care about the limits set by Allah, and they go and take a haram loan, and they go and they deal with interest. You know, subhanAllah, recently I came across a property in our neighborhood that was purchased last year, and nobody lived over there. And then this year, it was sold for so much more money. And that purchase was basically an investment. And people literally borrowed a couple $100,000 from the bank with an interest-based loan. And then they purchased the property, and now they sold it at a huge profit. And whatever money they borrowed from the bank, they returned it. But then through the interest-based loan, they obtained so much profit. You know, they basically doubled, tripled their initial investment. So you see examples like this and you think that, these people are so lucky. Through interest, they can double their money, they can triple their money, and they live in so much ease and luxury. And then you see another person who goes to the masjid, who is working so hard, who is renting a house, a small house, and, you know, his car is old, maybe rusted. His children are wearing hand-me-down clothes. In the house, there's no matching furniture, things like that. And you wonder, if these people are, you know, obedient to Allah, how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give them more? And how come they are living, in such an embarrassing state? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests His beloved slaves. And we learn in hadith that ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. The world is a prison for the believer. This life is not everything. This world is not everything. The friends of Allah experience loss. They experience neediness. They experience dependence and poverty. That is not because Allah is humiliating them. No. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to increase their ranks in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring them closer to Himself. Because when a person is kept in poverty and dependence, then what happens? They humble themselves before Allah. They seek the favor of Allah. They yearn for ease in the hereafter. And if a person lives in opulence and ease in the world, then what happens? It's very easy to become distant from Allah. It's very easy to feel arrogant. It's very easy to forget the hereafter. So when a righteous person experiences poverty or loss or illness in the world, remember, that is not because Allah is humiliating them. No, Allah does not humiliate His friends. This is a temporary test for the friends of Allah. And if you see the best of all human beings, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he not experience any hardship in his life? A lot of hardship. We see that in his house, the oven would not be lit more than once. Subhanallah, for days, in fact, fire would not be lit because there was nothing to cook. And if ever they had two meals in one day, one was certainly raw, meaning it was just dates and water. It was not cooked food. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who at times would have rocks tied to his stomach out of extreme hunger, if he experienced poverty and neediness, then why are we so arrogant that we cannot bear the thought of renting a house for the next few years? That we become so arrogant that we think it's beneath us that we should rent a property. Astaghfirullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from pride and arrogance. And at the same time, you see, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favor. Because look at the next words. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. In your hand is all good. Allahu Akbar. In your hand is all good. And khayr in the Quran is also used for wealth. So if you want wealth, if you want increase in wealth, if you wish for something, remember it is in the hand of Allah. It is in the hand of Allah. And it is, you will only have it when Allah gives it to you. So don't try to take it through unlawful means. Don't try to seek it through ways which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made impermissible. And if you are tempted to take it through unlawful means, stop yourself over there And remind yourself, I can only obtain this if Allah makes it permissible for me. And there is no way I can get it without the permission of Allah. And if I want good, yani wealth, then I have to seek it from Allah. I have to seek it in ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So seek it from Allah. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ In your hand is all good. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Any blessing you have, then it is from Allah. And then look at the words, إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Indeed, you are over all things competent. Allahu Akbar. You know, sometimes people, they have a weakness of faith in the sense that, you know, they say, how is it possible for me to purchase a property through halal means in this day and age? How is it possible for me? You know what? You cannot obtain it with your own power, with your own means and your own planning. You will obtain it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible for you. So ask Him to make it possible for you. And have faith in Allah. إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Ask Allah to give you through halal, to protect you from haram. And use this statement in your dua. إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Ya Allah, you are over all things competent. So you make this possible for me. You give this to me through lawful ways. And you know, when you make a rule for yourself that I am not going to go to haram, I am only going to get this through halal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for you. Because وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ The one who fears Allah, Allah makes an exit for him. And Allah provides him sustenance from where he cannot even expect. So don't look towards haram options. Seek what is halal and say, إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Indeed, you are over all things competent. And don't compare your situation to others. Oh, so-and-so got to, obtain this in a halal way because their family is very well off. Or because their father died when they were still young and they inherited a whole lot of property. Or their parents are very generous. Or they have a stable income. Or they have this benefit and that benefit, and I don't. Since I don't have it, I am going to get it through haram means. No. Allah is the one who made it possible for them, and He can also make it possible for you. You see, Zakariya alayhi salam, when he saw with Maryam rizq, he asked her, where did you get this from? She said, this is from Allah. What did Zakariya alayhi salam do over there? هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ Right there and then, Zakariya alayhi salam called upon his Lord that, Ya Allah, you give me as well what I desire. He wanted a child and he made dua to Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a child. So don't despair of the mercy of Allah. Don't give up on Allah. Don't doubt the power and ability of Allah. إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ And then in this dua, we say that رَحْمَانُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَرَحِيمَهُمَا That, oh Allah, you are the most merciful of this world and the hereafter, and you are also their Rahim. And you continue to show mercy. No one is more merciful than you, and you are continuously merciful. So you are mentioning two beautiful names of Allah in this dua. And then you say, تُعْطِيهُمَا مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَمْنَعُ مِنْهُمَا مَنْ تَشَاءُ That, oh Allah, you give both the world and the hereafter to whomever you will, and you prevent them from whomever you will. Yani, at the end of the day, this is Allah's decree, this is His decision. He gives whomever He wants, and He prevents whomever He wants from whatever that He wants. This is His decree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree, His judgment, His decisions, remember, they are based on His mercy and His justice, His knowledge. They are not random. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees in your favor that you should own something, that you should possess something in your life, then this is Allah's mercy. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that you should not have something in your life, in spite of your hard work and your desperate wishes and your hard work, your striving and your praying, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make that possible for you, then this is His justice, this is His wisdom, this is His knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you from something that you don't even know is harmful for you. So trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. وَتَمْنَعُ مِنْهُمَا مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And then you ask Allah, إِرْحَمْنِي رَحْمَةً. Oh Allah, bestow your special mercy on me. Such mercy by which تُغْنِينِي بِهَا عَنْ رَحْمَةِ مَنْ سِوَاكُ. By which you avail me against the mercy of anyone but yours. Any, when you borrow a loan from someone, you are basically at their mercy, that they are being compassionate towards you, so they lend you some money, right? But it's possible that they run out of that compassion and then they say, give me my money back. And you are struggling to pay them back. So you're asking Allah that, Ya Allah, you bestow your special mercy on me. You enrich me. You suffice me so that I don't have to even seek the mercy of your creation. I don't have to ask them to be compassionate towards me and to extend the term for me or pardon the loan or give me a loan or give me more time. Ya Allah, I want your mercy. You help me pay off this loan and you help me stand on my feet in such a way that I don't ever have to borrow a loan again. So this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you make it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you pay off your loan, even if it is as much as Mount Uhud. A massive, massive loan. And you see, sometimes it happens that, for example, a person borrows a loan, a huge loan, and then they have a plan to pay it off for the next, 30, 40 years, whatever. But then after 20 years, they're not able to make an income. Or for example, there's health concerns or there are other obligations because of which a person is no longer able to pay off that loan. Circumstances change. Sometimes a woman is not in favor of, for example, taking a huge loan, but the husband insists. And then what happens? In some cases, the husband passes away. And now that huge responsibility is on the woman who doesn't even have a source of income. So circumstances like this come upon us. So at such a time, don't despair and don't beg people. Don't put your hand before people begging for their mercy, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that whoever puts their hand before others, spreads their hands before others, asking them for charity and things like that, then Allah will open the door of poverty for such a person. They will always be dependent on others. So seek independence. Seek independence. Seek sufficiency. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to you. Make dua for it. Now, when it comes to borrowing, taking a loan, then remember that we should be very careful when taking a loan. It is not right that a person makes a habit of borrowing other people's money all the time. Because we learned that one of the ulama, he was asked that, is it permissible for a person to take a loan and go for Hajj? Can a person take a loan of a couple thousand dollars, for example, so that they can do Hajj with that money and then they can pay it off afterwards? So he replied, يَسْتَرْزِقُ اللَّهَ وَلَا يَسْتَقْرِضُ. That person should seek sustenance from Allah and he should not seek a loan. You can ask Allah to provide you sustenance with which you can pay for Hajj yourself. Why are you seeking a loan? And remember that if this is not recommended for Hajj, then how would it be recommended for other matters? So we should be very careful, because these days this has become so common that people even buy their groceries on credit card. Little things we want to pay with the credit card. Why? Because the money won't automatically go away from our bank account, and then we can pay the minimum whenever the bill is due, and then the next month again minimum, we will pay the minimum, and then all of a sudden what happens? A person gets shocked by a delayed payment and then an interest charge. Astaghfirullah. Or what happens? A person realizes that the credit card bill is way more than what they can afford to pay. So this is a very bad habit, a very dangerous habit that a lot of people have developed, that everything they will buy on credit. And if you have a system of, you know, automatic bill payments, that's okay. But even then, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you wealth and it's just sitting in your bank account, use that. You know, and when you will use your money, okay, your money to spend on your needs, the needs of your family, this is not a waste. You are being rewarded for it. Because sometimes the temptation is that if I use the credit card, then I'm going to get certain points, right? And with those points, I can buy or I can have such and such privileges. You know what? It's possible that you don't even use those privileges. For example, some people get travel-related privileges. But in the past 2-3 years, travel has significantly reduced. Even if you had thousands and thousands of Amex points, for example, you may not have been able to use them. And remember, if a certain privilege is written for you, you will receive it. And the best privilege is that you get rewarded for the groceries that you buy, even for paying for your children's tuition, for buying clothes for yourself, your family, and all of these matters. So pay from the money that you have and earn the reward of sadaqah, earn the reward of charity. That is the best bonus that you can get, the best points reward system that you can have. And, you know, the constant use of the credit card, literally, it is a trap. It is a trap because you get caught in a cycle, and before even you know it, you have a huge loan now on your head that you have to pay off. You're not able to save any money. You're not able to have barakah in your money. Because with that sudden interest charge, because you missed a payment, what will happen? Now your money is no longer pure. And we learn in the Quran that يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys riba. Meaning the money that has riba in it, that money, that wealth will have no barakah whatsoever. No blessing. In fact, it will be a means of hardship, loss, difficulty, a burden for a person. So in many places, having a credit card is a must. So for example, without a credit card, maybe you cannot make certain purchases. Maybe you are not able to, rent a car. Maybe you're not even able to rent a house because you need a good credit history. All of that is understandable. But at the same time, please don't get caught in the trap of purchasing everything on credit, buying everything on credit, because you before you know it, you could be in a lot of trouble. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that do not put yourselves in fear after having been in security. The companions asked, how is that, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he said, debt. Subhanallah. Yani, you are living a debt-free life, you are living within your means, and you are living in security. So for example, you have a certain amount of money you make every month, and you know that this much money goes in rent, this much money goes in bills, this much money goes in groceries and things like that, this much money I get to save. So you budget. But then what happens when you take a loan? When you start buying things on credit, for instance, you put yourself in fear. You put yourself in fear. There's a certain level of anxiety. You keep checking, when is the credit card bill due? Do I have enough to pay off this bill? Do I have enough to pay off this debt? Likewise, if a person borrows a huge amount of money to purchase a house on credit or on mortgage, for example, again, they're putting themselves in fear. If you're renting, for instance, you've given the first and the last month's payment, and then every month you have a good budget that, okay, this much of my income will go in paying rent. And a lot of times when it comes to paying rent, you have to give advanced checks. So you are in a state of safety, right? You because you are living within your means. But when you take on a loan, then you put yourself in fear. You put yourself in anxiety, in risk. And we see that these days, subhanAllah, we have so much available to us, so much more than we can even enjoy, but we live in fear and anxiety, constant anxiety, because we have this bill to pay, that bill to pay. SubhanAllah. And we have filled our homes with things that we don't truly own. Our homes we don't actually own. Our cars we don't actually own. The things that we buy and we bring home and we decorate our houses with, those things even we don't own. SubhanAllah. We are living fake lives. Lives filled with anxiety and fear. We learn in another hadith that the person whose soul departs while he is free of three things is guaranteed to enter paradise. What are these three things? Arrogance, debt, and deceit in the matter of public treasury. So pride, if it is in the heart of a person, paradise is not guaranteed to them. Likewise, if a person dies while they have debts to pay off, again, Jannah is not guaranteed for them. And if a person has been treacherous with regard to public treasury, then again, paradise is not guaranteed to them. So don't make it a habit that you're constantly borrowing or living a life in which you are just living off of debt. Learn to live within your means. In another hadith, we learned that Allah is with the borrower until he pays off his debt, so long as the loan is not for something that Allah dislikes. So yes, it is permissible to take a loan. It's not haram. It's not disliked. You are allowed to take a loan. Like I mentioned, it is something permissible. In certain situations, it can even be praiseworthy. It is rewardable. But it should not be any, the money that you borrow should not be for something that Allah dislikes. Because if it is for something that Allah dislikes, then you will not have the help of Allah in paying off that loan. If it is for something that Allah likes, then Allah is on your side. He will help you pay it off. So for example, if you borrow money so that you can pay for your children's tuition, and then you are striving to pay it off, you have the help of Allah. But if you borrow some money, okay, for example, you purchase something on credit, like for example, new furniture in your living room, okay, fancy, expensive furniture, which is way beyond your means, and the only goal over there is to impress the guests, all right, then this is not correct. But if, for example, you need some furniture because, for instance, you have an elderly person at home who needs to sit in a place that is comfortable for them, and then you buy furniture that, okay, fine, you're buying it on a delayed payment with no interest, and you know that it is possible for you to pay it off. For example, every month you have to pay 200, 300, and within a year you'll have it paid off. It seems reasonable, feasible, then that is fine because you bought it for a good purpose, a good objective. But if the niyyah is to show off, if the intention is to boast and to show to people that, oh, I am so wealthy and look at my house, look at my skills, then you don't have the help of Allah in paying off that loan. It is also permissible to borrow money in order to help fulfill someone else's need. For example, we learned that Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he was asked about the financial position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I was the one who managed the wealth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his behalf. When a Muslim would come to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found that Muslim to be naked, yani they're not dressed properly, then he would tell me to clothe that person. So I would go borrow some money, purchase some clothes for him, and then I would give that person the clothes and the food, etc. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would later pay off that loan. So there were times when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would borrow money, all right, buy things on credit, of course, halal loan. Why? In order to fulfill someone else's need. Because you see, For example, there could be someone in your family, among your acquaintances, maybe your own children, whose situation is such that nobody is going to lend them money because they don't have any credit history, for instance, right? So they need a guarantor, someone who will guarantee that the rent will be paid, etc. So you should help in such matters. You should help in such matters. And you will be rewarded for it. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, when it comes to borrowing money, taking a loan, whatever that loan may be, it could be in the form of cash or kind. Remember that it is essential. It is a condition, in fact, that the term should be specified, meaning there should be agreed upon. There should be an agreed upon term that okay, so and so is lending this much to so and so for 5 months, for 1 year, for 3 years, 5 years. The ajalim musamma, the specified term, should be agreed upon, and it should be known and clear to both parties. And it is better to write the transaction, okay, to have it in writing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says faktubuhu, and this is an amr of istihbab, yani it is recommended that you write it, because when it's written, then in the future there will be no arguments. Because sometimes it happens that you say something, you agree to do something, and then you completely forget. But when you have it written somewhere, then that becomes as a reminder and as proof. Of course, justice, fairness, honesty, all of that is necessary when having such a transaction. And it's also better to have witnesses, especially if the transaction is big, then it's better to have witnesses. And sometimes, subhanAllah, within family, sometimes between siblings, sometimes between parents and children, the families get ruined because of such matters where something was borrowed, something was lent. The term was not specified, nothing was recorded. People become dishonest because of greed for money. There are no witnesses, and so people find themselves in so much problem. And we learn in a hadith that there are three people who, if they make dua, asking for help regarding their matter, they're not helped. And one of them is the person who borrows a loan but does not appoint a witness. You're borrowing a significant amount and you did not bring any witnesses, all right? You did not have the transaction recorded, and now there's a dispute, and each party is claiming something else. So now how do you seek help from Allah when you did not follow the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you in the first place? So it's very important that even if you're lending something to your own child, please write it down. Please have witnesses. If you are lending, even for example, jewelry to your daughter-in-law at the time of her wedding, for instance, then please make it very clear that this is lending, not gifting. So things should be clear. If you're lending a car, if you're lending any kind of property, make it clear. Don't say, yeah, this is your own, of course. Everything of mine belongs to you. Take whatever you wish. And then after a few days, now you start talking bad about that person. Oh, they've borrowed this and they've never returned it to me. And then you go demand from them. And then they're surprised that what's going on? I thought you gave it to me as a gift. Now you're demanding it from me. So make your matters clear, especially financial matters. We learned that in a hadith that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demanding his debts, and that man behaved very rudely. So the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were angry at that man, that how dare you speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like that. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, leave him, because the creditor has the right to speak. If he's demanding his wealth harshly from me, then he has the right to do that. So, for example, if you have lent something to someone and now they're not giving it back, you are allowed to use harshness in demanding your property back. But harshness does not mean violence. It does not mean that you go and injure them, that you harm them. If a person has wealth and they have borrowed money and they're not paying the loan back, then this is sinful. The Prophet ﷺ said that when a rich man takes a long time to pay a debt, then this is zulm on his part. This is injustice. In another hadith, delay in payment on the part of one who possesses means makes it lawful to dishonor and punish him. And Ibn Mubarak explained that dishonor means that he may be spoken to roughly, and punish means that he may be imprisoned for it. Of course, it's the authorities that will do that. You cannot go and, you know, trap the person in his car or in his house and say, demand and you know, give me my money and I will not let you go. That's not in your in your authority. But you can take someone to court, and you will not be wrong for doing that, even if they are your sibling, even if they are related to you. And when it comes to paying a loan, any returning a loan, then we should do that in the best way possible. We learn in a hadith that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had to pay Jabir radiallahu anhu, and he had to return a loan to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repaid the loan, and he gave even more than what was due. Even more than what was due. But remember that the lender cannot demand more, because that will be interest. All right? And in the same spirit, it is not permissible to give a gift to someone that you have borrowed money from, because that is interest. It is a form of interest. Now, it is also greatly rewarded if you take the responsibility to pay off someone's loan. Any someone who is not able to pay off their loan themselves, and you assist them, this is an excellent good deed. We also learned that someone who is in debt, who is unable to pay off the loan, it is permissible for them to receive zakat money. And with zakat money, they can pay off their loan. So for instance, if you know someone, you know, for example, a student who once borrowed a loan to pay for their education, and now they're not able to find work anywhere, or they weren't even able to complete their education. Maybe there was illness or some you know, emergency in the family, because of which they were not able to pay off the loan. Then you can assist them with zakat. Then on the part of the lender, remember, it is very rewardable if you pardon the loan. If somebody has borrowed money from you and now you see that they're not able to pay it off, you can pardon that loan. And this will be a source of great, great reward for you. We learned that such a person will be protected from the difficulties of the Day of Judgment. And a person who pardons the loans of others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon that person. And we learn that at the time of death, angels also will show compassion and mercy to the person who showed compassion and mercy to people in regard to loans. Also, we learn that whoever grants respite to a poor person or alleviates it for him, meaning extends the term or pardons the loan completely, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade him on the Day of Judgment under his throne. Allahu Akbar. What an honor. Now, when it comes to paying off a loan, of course, we use the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided to us. And we must also make dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, you help me. We should not take this matter lightly, because if a person dies and they owe debts, then we learn that even if a person dies as a martyr, everything will be forgiven except for the debt. SubhanAllah, we learn that any person who takes a loan, having resolved not to pay it back, will meet Allah as a thief. Astaghfirullah. So be very careful regarding this matter. Don't take it lightly that you borrow and then you don't return. No, have the intention to return. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever dies owing a dinar or a dirham, that's a very small amount, it will be paid back from his good deeds. Meaning on the day of judgment, you will not be able to pay back with dinar or dirham. You will only be able to pay back with your good deeds. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that wa'tasimu billahi huwa mawlakum. Hold on to Allah. Allah is your protector. We learn in a story that Zubair radiallahu anhu, when he was, before he passed away, he told his son that pay off my debt. And if you have any trouble paying off my debt, then appeal to my master to help you. So his son did not understand that who is your master? He said, Allah. So his son, he would say that, O Mawla of Zubair, help me pay off the debt of Zubair. And his son said that every time that he would make this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would help him pay it off. So this is something that you can also say, that when you have a debt to pay off, or somebody in the family whose debt now you have to take care of, make this dua, that, oh my Mawla, help me pay off my debt. Oh my protector, help me pay off my debt. Another dua we can make, we learn in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say this dua before going to sleep. All right, he taught that we should say this dua before going to sleep. And this dua is, Allahumma rabba samawati wa rabba al-ardi wa rabba al-arshi al-azim, rabbana wa rabba kulli shay', faliq al-habbi wal-nawa, wa munzil al-tawrati wal-injili wal-furqan, a'udhu bika min sharri kulli shay'in anta akhidun binasiyatih, Allahumma anta al-awwal, falaysa qablaka shay', wa anta al-akhir, falaysa ba'daka shay', wa anta al-zahir, فليس فوقك شيء وأنت الباطن فليس دونك شيء اقضي عنا الدين وأغننا من الفقر. That, O Allah, Lord of the seven heavens and Lord of the great throne, our Lord and the Lord of everything, splitter of the grain and the date stone, revealer of the Torah and the Injil and the Furqan, I seek refuge in you from the evil of everything that you seize by the forelock. O Allah, you are the first and nothing is before you. You are the last, nothing is after you. You are the most high, nothing is above you. You are the most near, nothing is nearer than you. Remove our debts from us and enrich us against poverty. Subhanallah, what a beautiful dua. So say it before you sleep. And whatever loan you have, it could be huge. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, iqdi anna ad-dayn. Help us pay it off and save us from poverty. Another dua we can make, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'thami wal-maghram. Anas radiallahu anhu said that, Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say this dua in his salah, that, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from sin and from debt. Yani, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from ever being in a situation where you even need to take a loan. So make this dua in salah. Another dua, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. O Allah, suffice me with what you have allowed instead of what you have forbidden, and make me independent of all others besides you. Yani, when a person has borrowed money from someone, they're in a way dependent on them. So you're asking Allah, Ya Allah, make me independent of them. Make me independent of all others besides you. I want to depend on you and no one else. Another dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wal-ajzi wal-kasal wal-bukhli wal-jubn wa dhala'i d-dayni wa ghalabati r-rijal. That, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from worry and grief, from incapacity and laziness, from cowardice and miserliness, from being heavily in debt, and from being overpowered by other men. And Anas radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua a lot. So we should also make this dua a lot, because we're asking Allah to protect us in this dua from things that harm us, from things that make our life difficult. And among these things is dhala'i d-dayn, the heavy debt, meaning being heavily burdened by debt, that it seems impossible to pay off. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.